Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, designing custom bathrooms that fit every personal style. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's been only a few weeks, but immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers have already been facing new realities under the administration of President Donald Trump. Fears about what the future holds grow stronger by the day, and reports of federal immigration agents seen in a neighborhood have sent panic through communities across the country. That includes here in the St. Louis area. Immigration groups based in STL are working with people to address those fears and to try to separate rumors from reality. Here to talk about those efforts and to help us make sense of these recent developments, I'm joined by St. Louis Public Radio reporter Andrea Henderson. Andrea, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Elaine. Thank you for having me again.
So, Andrea, you have been reporting for some time, and today there was a report out about the creation of an ICE activity hotline. This hotline will use volunteers to assess whether a report of an immigration enforcement action is true or not. Andrea, why is it that this hotline was created?
Yes, so there were several immigrants of service providers and attorneys and organizers who were getting, you know, calls. Basically, folks were scared. They were in fear for maybe being deported, or they were hearing all of these kind of reports that, oh, ICE is here, or there is some activity at this restaurant or in this location. And so these immigrant service providers just really wanted to create the rapid response line to help simmer some of those fears, mm-hmm. and really help people, you know, come to only have one location to call and to check and to verify if ICE activity is happening. So it really was just to serve the immigrant community at large and just basically help calm some of those fears that they had.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the hotline does verify that ICE is in a given area, what then? What happens at that point?
So if someone sees, or they believe that there is some federal immigration agents or enforcement in a certain area, maybe at a restaurant or a grocery store, and they are scared or they want to verify if it's true or not, they can call the hotline, which the number is 314-370-7080. They can call the hotline and leave a voicemail. It'll be kind of like instructions on what to say and things of that nature. They leave a voicemail and they say wherever the location was, if they thought it was ICE activity, and some of the trained volunteers would go immediately and verify it. They will go to whatever location you say on the voicemail and basically tell them or come back with a report on what they have discovered, whether it was just regular law enforcement or if it was any type of ICE activity. They'll call the person back or reach back out to them however they would like, whether it's through social media or email, just to let them know, hey, things are clear now, or maybe don't go to this area because there was some ICE activity here, or that was not ICE, because they are getting, you know, a lot of calls that could possibly be false characteristics of ICE, and it could just be a local police officer.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if these things are happening, particularly around the untrue reports or things that are not quite... they're not what people are seeing. I mean, why is this happening?
Yeah, I think it's really just because of social media. We're seeing a lot of kind of videos and photos, and maybe people are typing messages and saying, hey, I've seen ICE over here, and it may not even really be ICE. Sometimes you see the photographs of people being, or the videos of folks being pulled over, and it's not a clear picture, but then someone will say, hey, avoid this area. ICE ICE agents are here and they're picking up folks over at this location, and it's not necessarily true. So I really think that folks are getting, you know, a little panicky because of what other people are posting online or what they're hearing, kind of word of mouth, like, oh, yeah, I saw this, but it typically or sometimes it's not always ICE activity.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, ultimately, what is the impact of rumors like this going around at this time?
Yeah, it has some heavy impacts on families. I know that throughout a lot of my reporting over the past few weeks, a lot of them were saying they were not going, you know, to do daily activities, whether it was going to the grocery store or whether it's going to, you know, a restaurant or hanging out with friends. You know, typically if they're used to going to work and going to do something after work, they don't do that anymore. The social activities kind of have calmed down. I know a lot of immigrant families, ones that are just in fear for their lives because they may not have citizenship, or the ones that do have citizenship or live in mixed status families, they're just really concerned. So they're not doing a lot of, you know, normal daily activities. I checked in with a few of my sources that I spoke to, and they said over this past week, things have calmed down with a lot of the fears just a little bit, and they're starting to go back out. They're going to, you know, the stores. They're going to grocery stores, but limiting it. They may still do maybe once a week or something like that, but not an everyday occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Now, Andrea, another story that you have been following has to do with a big part of St. Louis history, and that is a history of welcoming refugees and immigrants. And you've been looking into organizations that are dedicated to that work. Now, these organizations are scrambling after the Trump administration paused most federal grants and loans. And then things got even more chaotic when the administration rescinded that executive order. Andrea, what do we know about where things stand right now for those groups, you know, organizations like the International Institute, for example?
Yeah, so I know that I spoke with the International Institute's interim CEO and President Blake Hamilton last week, and he was telling me that they were waiting for about $1.1 million worth of reimbursement from the federal government, and that was just for its December payment for services that they had rendered. And it really, the impact really has kind of shuttered some of the programming, reduced some of the programming, not only for an international institute, but for some other local organizations like Welcome Neighbor STL as well. So the big implications here is really just with this federal pause and then rescinding it, it's a lot of confusion, but also slowing down some of those payments that could be coming into the, you know, the pocketbooks of these organizations.
Mm-hmm. So are they getting federal funding or not?
I have not heard back from the International Institute if they received it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're still waiting. But Welcome Neighbor STL, I know that their executive director posted last week that she knows that her payments are on its way. And I checked in just to see if it had actually hit her bank account. I know she was waiting for over $300,000 worth of funding from the government specifically for her Afghan refugee program. And she said it's basically on its way. It has not hit her bank account just yet.
Okay. Well, I guess that sounds like it is a bit of reassurance.
It's coming. It's on its way. I think what they were really just waiting for was just to see how things were going to work once things had been rescinded, once
the
orders had been rescinded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was also an email, Andrea, that was sent out on January 31st, and that was by the Missouri State Refugee Coordinator. And this message went out to immigrant and refugee providers. And this official said he could not even access the federal payment management system, and then that the request for reimbursements was under review. I mean, what did this mean then for these agencies? And I guess more specifically, what sorts of programs are these funds meant to pay for?
Yeah. So really, since he couldn't access the payment management system at the time, it really just halted things, you know, for folks. I know that for Welcome Neighbor STL, they really had to stop a lot of their services for the Afghan refugees that they served. That was English language classes. That was, especially they do a lot of driving lessons for Afghan refugee women. So that was stopped. I know for the International Institute, there some programs that were affected was, of course, some English classes as well as some job placement, health services, particularly mental health services.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the services have been kind of reduced or stopped.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also the aspect of refugee families who were on their way to St. Louis. The International Institute resettled more than 400 refugees in the past 3 months. I mean, where do changes now leave those refugees? You know, we're often talking about families who've not made the journey here yet. I mean, like, they're in limbo, right?
Yeah. I mean, I specifically haven't spoken with any families that were waiting for family members to arrive here, some refugee family members to arrive here. But from reports, it's just, folks are saying that they're basically stuck and kind of in limbo, waiting to see if the federal government will even approve their applications now, which could possibly be a long shot, but it still could happen. I know that Welcome Neighbor STL, they were supposed to resettle 18 Syrian refugees. I know they said they were supposed to do it by the middle of January, I believe, and they received only about 10 people, which was like two families, before President Trump came in office this second term. So, you know, they were able to receive these Syrian refugees, but not all of them. So the other families are just waiting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last question here kind of takes us back to one of the first examples of local folks, voicing what their concerns and priorities are near the opportunity to report from a protest in Overland, which is a St. Louis County suburb, against the deportations, and Trump's immigration policies. What impressions did you get, Andrea, from the people there? This was January 25th, I believe. What kinds of things did they tell you?
It was fresh. A lot of folks were nervous. They were scared. They were fearful, but they were out there. And a lot of folks that I spoke to were actually students or young folks. And they were saying they were out there for their mothers, their fathers, for their family members, their friends, who may not have been able to come out because they may, maybe they're waiting for the green cards, or they're scared or they're nervous, or, you know, whatever the reason was. But a lot of them were actually saying, hey, we're here because we hope that the community sees us and that they're listening to us and will join in the fight with us, because many of them want really the federal government to just give immigrants and refugees an easier pathway to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that these kind of protests will probably continue on until maybe they see change.
Mm-hmm. Andrea Henderson is St. Louis Public Radio's race, identity, and culture reporter. You can read all of our coverage on our website. That's stlpr.org. Andrea, thank you again for joining our show today.
Of course.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
And by Elaine Cha.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.